I'm Brian McCreath at Symphony Hall with Andres Nelsons, who is here just before taking off on a tour of China and Korea and Taiwan, Hong Kong, all kinds of exciting things coming up. Andres, thanks for your time today. I appreciate it.
A great pleasure to be here.
I want to ask you about the Chamber Symphony by Shostakovich, otherwise known as the Eighth String Quartet, really, but in this arrangement by Rudolf Barschai, and about how this symphony relates to the other symphonies. You know, you and the BSO have been performing, recording all of Shostakovich's symphonies, and I think that people would excuse you for not including this piece because it's not one of the numbered symphonies by Shostakovich. So tell me what the Chamber Symphony tells you and how it sits within the other 15 symphonies by Shostakovich.
Yes, I think firstly it is right. It's a eighth quartet. That's the original counting, and that's what he composed in 1960 in Dresden, and he needed only 3 days to write it down. And I think the history of this piece is very interesting, and also what Shostakovich has said himself, and that in a certain sense made us feel that we wanted to include this in our cycle, because for him it was one of the, I think, strongest, deepest pieces. As he said, if I'm not mistaken, that even though, of course, on the beginning of the score it says that it's for the victims of fascism and the war, and of course I still think that this is certainly in memory of all the people who lost their lives in this terrible time. But to one letter, Shostakovich said that it's not very often that somebody composes the piece in memory of the composer, and he wrote that this piece he would like to dedicate to himself. But that period when he went to Dresden with the idea actually to compose music for film about the bombing of Dresden, but he wrote in a letter he cannot start writing even anything close to what he needed at that time was a film. But he had in mind this thing, and he wrote this quartet in 3 days, and he really thought this extremely personal piece, extremely deep and personal piece. And that's why I think is one of the reasons why we put it next to the symphony cycle, that it is a very personal Shostakovich piece. And it has a lot of quotations from many of his earlier works. And also, as you said, Rudolf Barschai made the arrangement, which Shostakovich approved, for the big string size. And it was also interesting that at that time, when Shostakovich came back from Dresden, he was quite depressed, quite sad, and he felt like he's written Requiem for himself, and he was carrying a big box of the sleeping pills. So he was really, at that time, he was very close to commit suicide. And it's very interesting, not when Stalin was alive, but in 1960, where things seemed to be, if I may say, better than maybe when the big tyrants were alive, I mean, Hitler and Stalin. So it's also the proof that Shostakovich music is much beyond the political things, what happened in the world, because we more and more see that towards his end of his life, he was more and more depressive sometimes, more dark, more outspoken maybe in his letters and talking about life and being very afraid to die. And I think, yeah, and that's maybe one of the reasons, and that many people say it's one of the most strongest and personal of Shostakovich pieces, and that's one of the reasons why we put it in the CD as well.
Well, the other thing about it is that, as you say, there are lots of quotes from a lot of the symphonies, from Lady Macbeth of Mtsensk, which is where your whole series started, with that Passacaglia from Lady Macbeth. What changes in the piece when it becomes a string orchestra piece rather than a string quartet piece? What what aspects of the piece are magnified, become stronger as a chamber orchestra piece?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's also, when we talk about these arrangements, and also, for example, Schoenberg for Kletternacht, which we performed earlier this season, there's one side which says that, of course, the original version is, it has some more intimate links to the composer and to his ideas. And of course, also studying and restudying the piece again. Of course, I was very curious to listen to quartets and to different interpretations of quartets. And I think maybe in certain sense that it's almost as you have a loudspeaker and you talk the same text, but you talk through loudspeaker to the wider audience and to the world, how important are the things which are in this quartet, which some people might think, okay, if it's a quartet, maybe I don't like the quartet music, or you know, which might have just went on not as much noticed as maybe it's through this arrangement of the chamber symphony for single orchestra. And that could be one, just one side which I could characterize, because he supported, he approved the arrangement, and I think he probably through this arrangement maybe more and more people got to know this piece, this quartet, and maybe many of people then through this piece came back to quartet, but that's their own, you know, decision what they prefer to listen to, what is like, seems stronger. But I think that's, they are both strong ways. One is more intimate, more, and one is, of course, particularly if you have, you know, the string sound as a Boston Symphony have, you can get this depth, darkness, and intensity, and sometimes transparent cold, but at times a little warm with a little hope sound. And I think that maybe talks to wider audience, I would say. Maybe touches wider audiences. And I think certainly there is both the quartet and the chamber symphony version is equally scary and icy and deep and dramatic context, certainly.
That's great. That's great, Andres. I actually agree. Yeah, that there are ways that more people will encounter this music in this form than might encounter it as a string quartet. So thanks for those thoughts, Andres. Thanks for your time today. I appreciate it, and have fun on the tour to China and to Korea and to Taiwan.
Oh, thank you very much. Great pleasure.